BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
This is a download of Farming Today from the BBC. The presenter today, Charlotte Smith.
Good morning. Well, today I'm at the World Agritech Innovation Summit. It's being held in London this week. It's really 500 people from all over the world discussing the future of agriculture, from robots and artificial intelligence to consumer demand and sustainability, all sustained by conference coffee and cake. What is the future of farming then? I asked Brett Begerman. He is the Chief Operating Officer for Bayer Crop Science.
We believe that we need to increase the productivity of agriculture, but at the same time, we have to do that in respect of society's needs and the consumer interest, as well as taking care of our planet. And this gives us more information to help the farmer make the decisions that they make, but make them better, to increase better outcomes for the farmer, better outcomes for society, and better outcomes for the planet. For a company involved in agriculture and innovation, that's good news for us too.
Does that mean that you're moving away from things like genetically modified crops?
No, we're still a significant investor in biotechnology and crop protection products because we believe those are still tools that are going to be utilized in a broad way to help the farmer grow. In some cases, they may use less crop protection materials. We would hope so, as we can help them manage the field in smaller increments, meter by meter, instead of on averages, so they only apply it where they need it. But we think things like gene editing and other innovations in plant breeding will also bring innovation and increase the productivity and the sustainability of our agricultural systems.
In Europe and in the UK in particular, GMO is a very controversial topic. It's something that really divides people. When we're talking about the future of agriculture, can we actually not talk about it, do you think?
Well, I think it needs just to be something in the context of overall agriculture. There's parts of the world where GMOs and biotechnology are widely utilized. Farmers are really happy with it. Society's really happy with it. It is the biggest innovation in agriculture in the last 25 years for the reduction of pesticides.
Although others will say that actually it has hidden problems, that there are problems with the way that it makes farmers dependent on businesses. I mean, you'll know these arguments better than me.
Oh, sure. No, that's where I was going to go. And then there are other people in the world and other countries where they say, we're not sure we want these in our environment. We're not sure we want to utilize them. We're not sure how it impacts the farmer. At the end of the day, I can tell you, having worked with farmers around the world, I've never had farmers complain to me about biotechnology controlling them. It's been the opposite. They're saying, how do we get access to more? But that doesn't mean it works for society. And that's why I think it's really important that we have holistic conversations and we take society and consumer interest into consideration as we build decisions for the future. It needs to work for the farmer, the consumer, and the planet. So I think those choices will continue to be made. Innovation will continue. But society has a role to play in helping us decide where that innovation is going to take place.
Is society now demanding different things? One of the words I've heard the most this morning so far is sustainability. We've got Extinction Rebellion, for instance, protesting all over the world at the moment. Are you going to have to change, perhaps, because of what society demands of you?
Well, I think we already have. Sustainability is at the center of everything that we do. And all of our innovation is driven around driving sustainability in agriculture. I think it's one of those things in the world that we face that it's real. I don't think it's really a choice. I think we have to think about it from the standpoint of how do we increase the productivity to make sure we can feed everyone, but we have to do it in a more sustainable way. And the simple example that I always give is we don't get any more land and we don't get any more water, but we have more people to feed. So we have to be more sustainable at utilizing those precious resources than we have been to be able to make that happen. And I believe innovation is at the center of doing that, and data and insights is going to be another evolution in that innovation to help us do that even better.
Although there are people who will say, well, this is big ag. This is big ag that got us into this situation in the first place. And actually, the future is smaller. It's regenerative agriculture. It's a totally different approach.
Yeah, and I think as I look at some of the things like regenerative agriculture and soil health is really important. And big ag is also involved in soil health. We have multiple soil health partnerships around the world where we're working on that. Part of the crop protection products that are sold today help farmers do conservation tillage, reduce tillage, using cover crops, etc. And that's a lot of what you hear about in regenerative agriculture. I don't have an issue with regenerative agriculture. I just wouldn't want to limit the tools rules just to the things that some people think of, because innovation can also play a role there.
Brett Begerman from Bayer Crop Science. More from here at the AgriTech Summit later. Now, all this week, we're looking at the provision of services in rural areas. Today, we're focusing on banks. According to research by the Consumer Group, which banks and building societies closed a total of 3,312 branches between January 2015 and August 2019, with an average of 55 closing every month. While a further 100 branches have already been scheduled to close before the end of this year. This is, of course, particularly challenging in rural areas because of poor broadband, lack of mobile coverage, lack of rural transport, and all the other things we've been talking about this week. In the county of Ceredigion in Wales, five towns have now lost all their banks. Marie Claire Carey Jones has been to Lampeter to find out what effect the closures are having. She started by speaking to Sarah Ward, who runs a print shop in the town.
We're a small family-run business in town. You know, if we don't have cash in our tills, then it's an inconvenience to the customers that we want to provide a reputable service to. And if, you know, as soon as you start not to be able to do that, then you've got problems as a small business. Our needs as a business need to be met by banking. We've already swapped our bank once because of a curtailing in banking hours that didn't suit the needs of our business. And I'm not looking forward to having to do that again.
Hello, shwai heavy.
And it's a similar story at the local agricultural merchant's Gwilly Jones, which is owned by Sean Davis.
We receive 80 to 100 cheques a week, which we need to get to the bank. From a five-day offering in the high street, we now have an arrangement where the bank van arrives at the car park for a slot of 40 minutes. For us as a business, it takes longer to get money to the bank.
What impact does that have on the way the community feels?
It does smack of being forgotten, being neglected, really, in terms of that rural provision. They have a social responsibility, I think. We can't always look at the economic impact. Yes, we accept that there have to be changes. Yes, technology has to play its part. But there is a big gulf at the moment between what the banks are offering and what the customer deserves.
MP for Ceredigion, Ben Lake, is also concerned.
It's having a significant impact just for some of the towns that have lost all their banks. I think it is fair to say that they lose their status almost as a service centre.
The banks themselves, though, would say you can now do internet banking. There are mobile vans that come round offering banking services. Mm. Isn't that enough for the people of Ceredigion?
It isn't. And I have several reasons for saying that. The first, if we just touch on the digital banking, you know, another hot topic in rural areas is, of course, broadband provision and connectivity. And we need only look at some of the reports and statistics to say that rural areas tend to have desperately poor provision compared to the more urban centres. But equally then, you know, in terms of mobile banking provision, they need to go to three or four other stops that day. When the bell rings, they have to kind of start pack up and go. It's an incredible pressure for the banking tellers and the staff working there, but also for the half dozen people still waiting outside who aren't able to actually do their business that day and either face a longer journey to the next stop, which is more time out of their day, or if they can't do that, they'll have to wait a week.
So what would you like to see happening?
Well, I think I've long abandoned the hope of all the banks kind of reopening the closed branches. But something I believe has potential is that they do look at this shared location idea, these business banking hubs where certain banks co-locate, share the cost, as it were, to bring down the branch kind of cost. From the bank's point of view, it would do a world of good to their PR, but also it'll make sure that, you know, their customers receive, you know, roughly the same level of service wherever they live.
That report from Marie Claire Carey Jones. Well, here at the World AgriTech Summit in London, there are, as you would probably imagine, a lot of very small companies represented. And some of these small tech startups have been competing in the AgriTech Pitch Day. I'm here with one of the finalists, Veena Adichan from SmartBell. The winner was Angela Curtis from RoboScientific. Veena, just tell me what your company does.
We are an animal health management and monitoring company, and we look at key animal data, including their activity, behaviors, temperature, and their surrounding conditions, to pick up early signs of disease. Disease in cattle is a very large issue, and it is a big lifetime productivity impact, and we work on those.
Isn't that something, though, that most farmers will just recognize?
Farmers find it really difficult to spend a lot of time with animals, and the behavior changes are very subtle, and animals also tend to hide them. What we can do with the technology is we can be their eyes and ears on the ground continuously, and we can pick up symptoms 2 to 3 days before any visual symptoms happen. That's the power of the technology.
So what does it look like?
We have a year tag, so it looks pretty cool. It's like a little jewel. So it's a year tag that monitors the activity and temperature of the animal with an infrared sensor, and we integrate external data from the farm and make it really easy for the farmer with a simple alert that's just delivered on their phone.
My name's Angie Curtis, and I'm sales director for Robo Scientific.
And what does it do?
We sniff things, so we take volatile organic compounds, which are the chemicals that we all give out. If we have the flu, then we give out different volatile organic compounds than if we're healthy. Every other living organism does the same thing. So what we do is we sniff the air around whatever the living organism is, and we say if it starts to rot, if it's a potato or an onion, or if it has a disease, if it's a chicken, and then we can tell the farmer very quickly, now you have to do something, or everything's fine, leave them alone.
So it's not dissimilar, actually.
No, it sounds quite similar. It's the first time I've come across SmartBell, actually. Although I think the difference is ours is actually we sit there like a little fire, a little smoke alarm in the ceiling, just sniffing away. And the only time we do anything is when the farmer needs to do something. If everything's happy, then the farmer can get about his business without having to worry.
Well, I have managed to track down a farmer. There aren't very many, to be fair, at this event. Becky Berry is here. You're a dairy farmer. Do your ears prick up when you hear about these sorts of technical innovations?
Definitely. I think as a farmer, we are an innovative industry ourselves, and we're always looking to see what else people are embracing. There are a lot of technologies that are around that are being embraced already, and it's the next developmental stage of that is crucial that we understand and get fed back to farms. So today it's really interesting to hear about the technology and the innovation that's there and the direction that that's taking. On farm level, we have got an awful lot of ground to cover in a very, very short time. And I think in industry, it's quite interesting listening to people with their ideas and the robo-science ideas and things coming forward to help progress that, because there is a matter of urgency. And I think my role here today is to try and reiterate to people how urgent that is. The investments need to be coming through at farm level so that they can be incorporated.
But farmers will have to invest themselves. They will have to buy into this.
But we do already, and yes, it will. And this is where the industry at the moment is at the challenging time. You know, we have the highest health and welfare standards across anywhere, and embracing in technology that's going to help progress that is costly. And we have to reiterate that the cost of that is not just to be borne by the farmer, and it must be paid through from the buyers, the supermarkets, and fed all the way through. We know it's what consumers want, and farmers can say that until we're blue in the face. But we need these guys to re-engage with the Department of Trade and things that they are doing today to help back us up to make sure that it gets fed through.
Becky Berry. That's it from us. I'm Charlotte Smith, and the producer in Bristol is Beatrice Fenton.